Christ is risen.
Jesus.
On this last Sunday of Pascha, the Church gives us the gospel of the healing of the blind man, as it is recorded in the gospel according to St. John. There are three interrelated themes that I would like us to focus on this morning. The first is the theme of light and darkness. The second is the theme of new creation and baptism. And the third theme is that of crisis. Let's look at the theme of light and darkness. Indeed, if we were to follow this, if we were to comb this reading, we would see that St. John is playing with iron. The one who is born blind, is given sight, is able to see, and those who have sight become blind. The one whose life is shrouded in physical darkness is drawn into the uncreated light, the pre-eternal Word and Son of God, incarnate, who has taken on his sin and our sin, his death and our death. Those who have physical sight, who are in the physical light, become shrouded in darkness. To appreciate this irony, we have to make clear who are the main characters in this morning's gospel. Besides Jesus and the blind man, who else? The Pharisees. And what is their role? They are the interrogators. And who are the Pharisees? They are the experts of the law. They are the ones to whom many of the Jews look to for the correct understanding and application of the law. The Pharisees are the ones who are familiar with the scripture, with the Jewish scripture, with the Torah, with the prophets. They are the ones who should have been able to see that these texts are pointing to the one who gives this blind man, this man born blind from birth, new sight. But instead, what happens to them? What happens to them? They become blind. And this theme of darkness and light, this theme in which darkness and light are worked out through the technique of irony, points to sin. The question of sin arises. Did this man's parents sin? And therefore, he is born blind. What is the response of Jesus? Of course so. So sin does not play into the life of this man who is born blind. That is, sin does not play into the fact that this man is born blind from birth. He is in darkness. And then there is a transition, a change in his life. Jesus gives him sight. So it is not the sin of the parents that leads to his blindness. On the contrary, it is this blindness that is overcome by the uncreated light of Christ that enables this man to have new life. And we'll get into this theme of new life in a moment. What is the cause of blindness? What drives one into blindness? And here, we're not talking about physical blindness. We're talking about spiritual blindness.
Ignorance?
Ignorance. What else? Certainly ignorance. Pride. Hubris. What is the hubris? What is the pride of the Pharisees interrogating this healed man, this man born blind and also his parents? What is the pride of these people? They claim to be the disciples of Moses, and therefore they have nothing further to learn. The mind and the heart are closed. Those who have access, who have the knowledge of the law and the prophets, are blind because of their pride, their arrogance, their ignorance. This pride and arrogance drives them into this quarter of ignorance, which renders them blind. Indeed, our Lord says, if you had been born blind, you would have no sin. But because you see, you have sin. Because you see me and you reject me, you have the sin. This man who is born blind is not blind because of his sin, but because he is able to look upon me as the Messiah. He has sight. He has freedom. He basks in the uncreated light. And this brings us to the second theme of baptism. Jesus anoints the eyes of this man born blind and tells him to wash in the pool of Siloam. And what does Siloam mean? Sent. And who is the sender? Jesus. As I mentioned in the past, there are patristic references that give the impression, and here I'm thinking of St. John Chrysostom and St. Photius of Constantinople. They both, in particular sermons, give the impression that this man was not only blind, but that there were no eyes in his sockets. And therefore, Jesus applying this clay, this mud, is involved in a new creation. Jesus is creating the new man. The new man who has this sight, who has this experience of the uncreated light. Jesus applies this mixture of spittle and earth on these sockets and tells this man to wash in the pool of Siloam, wash in the pool of scent. And Jesus, of course, is the scent one. And washing his eyes, this man receives his sight. Washing his eyes, this man receives new life. This is why we have in our mural the baptism of our Lord, followed by the healing at Siloam. There is a tight connection between baptism and this healing. Keep in mind also, when does this event take place? What day of the week?
Sabbath.
The Sabbath. So again, Jesus is breaking the law. How is he breaking the law? By healing and by mixing spittle and earth. He is kneading. Kneading is forbidden on the Sabbath. Jesus breaks the law in order to give new life to this man born blind. Jesus breaks the law and shows himself as the fulfillment, the completion, and end of the law. He indeed is the new law, the law which pours out life upon all those who are willing to draw near to the one who said that this new life is poured out upon those who wish to be immersed into that death and resurrection from which comes new and eternal life with the triune and tri-person of God. And finally, the theme of crisis. The theme of crisis refers to us points to us. We are people who see physically. We are people who claim, like the Pharisees, the Orthodox claim, like the Pharisees, that we have the scripture, the fathers, the liturgy, the canons, that indeed we have the fullness of truth. And yet, is this fullness of truth a guarantee that we have spiritual sight? Is this fullness a guarantee that we have new and eternal life in the crucified and risen Lord? There's only one answer. It begins with the end of the book. No. The only way we can claim to be true disciples of the Master is to be like this man who was born blind and receives new sight. We have to be open to the word of the Spirit. We have to be people with minds and hearts that are open to the activity of the Holy Spirit. So easily, the Orthodox mind can become closed. The Orthodox heart can become closed because it takes for granted, or rather, more specifically, it misuses and abuses all that is good, true, and beautiful within the living tradition, which makes up the living tradition of our church. We have to decide, are we a people, this is what crisis is, to make a decision. We have to decide, are we the people of the Spirit? And don't forget, we are prepared to celebrate the Feast of the Spirit. If we are people of the Spirit, then we have to be receptive to the Spirit. And to be receptive to the Spirit is to have a broken and contrite heart, a heart that is open to the activity of the Spirit. If we are recipients of the Spirit, we have to have a mind that is open to the working of the Spirit, that draws us into a new level, a new reality of knowledge, a knowledge which surpasses all rationality, and knowledge that is immersed in the experience of the living God. We must, having heard this gospel, be like this man born blind. We can see a progression in his life. He is asked who heals him, and what is his first response? The man, Jesus. He is asked again, what do you think of this man? What does he say? This man is a prophet. And then, at the very end, which again has a connection, a baptismal connection, the Lord asks him if he wants to believe, to see in the Son of Man. And what is the response of the blind man?
I was blind, but now I see.
Blind, but now I see. But where is this Son of Man? And Jesus says, he is before you. And what is the response of that man? Does he say, thank you very much, and go away?
Lord, I believe.
What?
Lord, I believe.
He says, I desire, yes, to believe in you, but more than that, what does the text say?
He worships him.
He worshiped him. He worshiped. He fell down before him and worshiped. Indeed, if we are people who are immersed in true worship, we have to be open to the activity of the Spirit, as this man was open to the activity of the Spirit in and through the living Word of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, we have heard truly the good news that indeed the light shines in darkness, that no one, in spite of physical blindness, is called to remain spiritually blind. All of us are called to receive this sight, this vision, in which we can can see and understand and experience that already we are being raised into the new and eternal life of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.